David Bernstein from McKean's Hockey. They do tons of stuff on the NHL draft every year. He joins us once again. David, how you doing?
Great, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
David, Edmonton, of course, in the top again. Their fans are hoping eventually maybe they don't have to find out who's the best picks, more the middle-of-the-road guys. The Ekblad, we'll get to him in a sec. Everybody loves him. I don't know anybody who said he's not the best defenseman. Now, the center position, there's been a lot of different discussions from Bennett to Reinhardt to Dreisaitl, Nylander. Who do you have as the top-ranked center, and how much of a gap, if any, is there amongst the top four or five centers in your mind?
I think, guys, you're going to find that the top seven or eight guys in this draft are probably going to be guys that we're going to be talking about in 3 to 4 years in the playoffs. And when you look at a guy like Sam Reinhardt, Sam Bennett, and Dreisaitl, who we kind of have 1, 2, 3 respectively, each one is going to bring a different dynamic and a different dimension to the team that drafts them. And currently we have Reinhardt at number one, followed by Bennett. There's a lot of discussion on this one, but we see a player like Sam Reinhardt is just arguably one of the smartest guys in the draft. He reminds me so much of a Ron Francis type player. And I think that he's going to put up a lot of points, at the NHL level. And, I think once he gets to the NHL level, he's going to be playing with pros who are really going to be able to execute and manufacture the scoring opportunities that he's going to create. Because I think in junior, although, he was, such an offensive point-producing guy, I think the sky's the limit with this guy in the NHL.
And so if you have Reinhardt 1, then you have Bennett and Dreisaitl. To give our audience maybe a – let's rank it out of 100, David, and let's say you give Reinhardt a 90, right? How close is Bennett and Dreisaitl?
Oh, I mean, they're right there. I mean, let's say 88 and 87. I mean, Bennett to me is he's cut from the same cloth as a Doug Gilmore, Jonathan Toews, Rod Brind'Amour type guy. I mean, he's certainly going to help. I mean, he's a character throwback player who can also produce offensively. He missed a lot of games this year, but he missed, I think, about 14 or 15 games, but he still finished in the top 10 in OHL league scoring. And he's just one of those guys that's going to give you honest efforts nights in and nights out. And we look at a guy like Dreisaitl, and this guy is going to make history first and foremost. He's going to be the highest German that's ever been selected. He'll surpass Marcel Gotch. Gotch, am I pronouncing that right, guys?
Yeah.
Sure you've said his name more than I have. He's a 6'2", 205-pound guy, just so incredibly skilled with the puck, especially on the backhand. He's not the most elegant skater, but somehow he's always in the right place at the right time. And what I really like about Dreisaitl is that every single time he's represented Germany internationally, when he's played against the best of his peers, he's always produced at a point-of-game level. So I think each one of those guys, very shortly they're going to be playing in the NHL, and they're going to help their respective team.
David, we tend to look at the draft here, especially with the Oilers' fortunes of the last 8 seasons, specific to them. Now, when you say there's not a lot to choose between Bennett, Reinhardt, and Dreisaitl, even though they may be slightly different players, they're neck and neck offensively in terms of production. The question we ask people is, if you're the Oilers, given the size of their forward group in the top 6, does Dreisaitl make more sense because he brings some size and some bulk? Would that be a reasonable argument in your mind, or would we be putting too much emphasis on the size because there's enough of a gap in skill?
I agree with you. I think Dreisaitl would make for a good fit. I mean, when you look at the Oilers, obviously they certainly need some defensive help on the blue line, but they do need some size, and Dreisaitl would fit that bill. I think a player like Sam Reinhardt, granted Dale Tallon doesn't trade the pick, I could see them taking Ekblad. I don't think that the Sabres will pass on Bennett, and I think that Reinhardt would be staring right at the Oilers. And, you know, I guess the question you have to ask yourself is, if we draft this guy, does it make the other guys on our team expendable? And can we get a little bit more value out of them and, you know, perhaps trade for a position, you know, that we're a little bit weak in? So, I mean, I think if the Oilers in a perfect world would love to see Ekblad staring at them, that would be a very logical choice for them. But in the event that he is taken, I think that, you know, Reinhart to me, is a better player. So maybe you grab the best player available and you kind of see what you have within the organization to, you know, make some trades and acquire some pieces.
What about Nylander? Where do you have him amongst all the other centers? How close is he?
Nylander's at number 8 for us. You know, it's funny because coming into the season, he was our number 1 ranked prospect. He struggled a little bit this year. He was kind of back and forth in the SHL and the Elfsvenskan. You know, he didn't get named for the World Junior team, and I really think that was an eye opener for him in terms of humbling him. And he matured quite a bit in the second half of the year. And, he was very good in the Elfsvenskan, which is the second, top men's league in Sweden, averaging over a point a game. But he really exploded at the under-18s. He led the tournament in scoring. Even though they didn't medal, he showed his ability to distribute the puck a little bit more. And he has a Patrick Kane-like skill ability to him. He's an absolutely dynamic player who can make plays off the rush. He's shifty, he's elusive, and, he's a fun player to watch. I mean, I think he's well worth the price of admission. He's moved up for us, and I wouldn't be surprised if perhaps he gets drafted even a little earlier than that.
David Burstein from McKean's Hockey joins us. David, Bennett's considered maybe the best two-way player of those top centers. I personally don't give that much about a player's defensive game at 18 years of age. I understand it's important, but if you're an elite level player offensively, great. You can learn how to have not have to need a map in your own zone. Reinhart and Dreisaitl, compared to Bennett's two-way game, is the gap that big in favor of Bennett?
Yes, especially when you're comparing it with Reinhart. That's the one knock on Reinhart. He loses some intensity in his one-on-one battles, and he's not the greatest player in his own zone. I think Dreisaitl definitely has a little bit more structure. But when you look at a guy like Bennett, I mean, former coach Todd Gill, the breakouts were really geared around Sam Bennett. I mean, he would circle around behind the net, take a first pass from McEwen or Steele, and then he would basically explode up the ice. So, and he's coming back in his defensive assignments as well. He's just an incredibly mature player in all areas of the ice. I mean, I think Reinhart is a smarter player. I think Reinhart's going to be able to put up more points. But if you're looking for a more complete package, Sam Bennett is definitely the guy. And I think that weighed in considerably with, NHL Central Scouting ranking him number 1. Maybe he's a guy that, when the game is on the line or you have to dig deep and get into the trenches, he's a guy that you kind of want, right?
Yeah, exactly. David, one thing, the size issue is a big thing in Edmonton, as I touched on earlier. You just need to look at the makeup of the Oilers' best players, and they're all on the smallish side. Dreisaitl, but the thing is, big players can play small. Sometimes they don't have an aggressive bone in their body. They don't like physicality. Small players can play big. We've seen it all over. Bennett's an aggressive little guy. What about the knock on Dreisaitl that he doesn't really use his size? Now, I know he doesn't put guys through the boards, but in your mind, from what you've seen, does he use his size effectively when it comes to shielding the puck, getting his territory, and those kind of things?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Dreisaitl is not a guy, like you said, he's not going to drive you through the boards. He's not a punishing hitter. But what he really does do a great job is shielding the puck, especially along the boards. I mean, he sucks up pucks like a vacuum. His hands, especially his wrists, are so developed that, he can snap a puck, he can corral a puck coming off the boards, he can settle down errant passes. And then he can kind of just do a quick shift where he's kind of boxing a player out, and then he's kind of beating them, on a diagonal cut, so towards, going towards the net. So Dreisaitl definitely knows how to use his size advantageously to, create chances, And, you know, like you said, he's not one of those punishing guys, but I certainly think that at the NHL level, it's not going to be an issue. And, you know, let's not lose sight of this. I mean, these kids are still very young, and I know that there's plenty of players in the National Hockey League that, you know, when they were drafted, they were criticized for not being, you know, playing with that much, you know, guts or with that much courage. But, you know, you learn. When you get to the NHL, you know, once you get hit in the face and you decide that you don't like that, you know, you push back. And as you get older, you get stronger, you get a little bit more confident, you know, and, you know, you become more serviceable in that facet.
David Bernstein from McKean's Hockey joins us breaking down the 2014 NHL draft. David, you look at into the second round quickly. You know, we've talked so much about the top. Who are some second round guys? Because we've, especially defenders, if you look at the history of the NHL, you know what, there's been a lot of great defenders who come in the second round who just need a little bit more time. Who do you see as some second round draft pick defensemen who have a very good chance that they're just going to need a few more years to develop before they'd be very good in the NHL?
Well, I mean, we've got a couple of guys here that come to mind. You know, one right off the bat is Anthony DeAngelo. He's a player who played for the Sarnia Sting. Just uncanny offensive ability. You know, he led the league in scoring, and, he was suspended. He was injured. I think he played 15 or 16 less games than Darnell Nurse. You know, the big question mark on him is his character, is some of the off-ice, antics that he was criticized for. And I think some teams might shy away from that. If he didn't have that, I'm almost for certain that he would be a first-round pick, and he still very may well be. Another player is Marcus Peterson. He's a big 6'4" defenseman who plays in the Allsvenskan, but he's only 170 pounds. He's a converted forward. He's got great finesse skills, but he's still learning the nuances of the defensive game. But, you know, he's a player that, you know, you have plenty of time on your side. You know, he can go and play in the Swedish Elite League next year for a couple of seasons, get a little bit more mass and bulk on him. But like I said, he's got that kind of, you know, tangible in terms of his finesse abilities to make a good first pass, to skate it out of his own, to quarterback a power play. He just, like I said, needs some size and strength. And the other guy is Jake Walman, who actually played some Tier 2 hockey. So it's a step below the OHL. He grew about 4 or 5 inches in the off season. Once again, another converted forward to a defenseman, but he reminds me so much of a Kevin Bieksa type player. You know, he brings a little bit of a physical element to his game. He can handle the puck. His defensive game got better. You know, in the second half of the season when he played for the Toronto Junior Canadiens, I mean, there was a lot of scouts coming to see this guy because, you know, he really stepped up his game. He became a first power play guy for that team. It was a struggling team, but, you know, he would play upwards of 20 to 25 minutes a game, which is very good, especially at that level, and for him just being, you know, a defenseman for this season. And, you know, when you look at the development curve that he has, I think that speaks volumes to, you know, NHL guys. They know that he's going to go play NCAA, so they got a little bit of time to wait on him to see how he develops. But he's certainly a guy that, you know, we've got 49th on our list. That brings a lot of those skills that NHL teams look for.
David, just comparing this draft to last in terms of the defenseman, I'm wondering, when you look at Aaron Ekblad, he's clearly the best defenseman available this year. In your mind, does he project as well as a Seth Jones and a Darnell Nurse from last year, or even better?
I don't think that he compares to Seth Jones. I think Seth Jones is in another category altogether.
Okay.
You know, I think last year we had 8 defensemen in our top 21. This year we have half of that. So that does not take anything away from Ekblad. But I will give him the benefit of the doubt in saying, you know, that he did make the World Juniors, which is unfortunately something that Darnell was not able to make. He was very good at the Canada-Russia Challenge. You know, and that was an area in which Darnell struggled a little bit. So, you know, if you want to talk about the season accolades, you know, I certainly think that he could compare, you know, with what Darnell Nurse accomplished as well. But Ekblad is one of those guys. He's just going to be an incredibly serviceable guy, along the lines of a Chris Phillips. He may not play on the first unit power play just due to his puck skills, but, within time, he should be a second unit power play option. He's got a booming shot, led the league in scoring with, I believe, 23 goals, and I think that was second amongst all CHL scoring defensemen. To Ekblad's credit, after the World Juniors, his game had a lot more structure to it. You can tell that he learned a lot from playing on the big ice surface, being involved with the World Junior program. His defensive structure was much better. He was using his size better to, let the play come to him as opposed to chasing the play. The guys on the team called him Manchild because that's exactly what he is. He's 6'4" and he's 225 pounds. I think that he's probably the most physically ready player to step into the NHL next year. It's going to be a little bit difficult for him, dealing with some of the size and the speed of the league. But when we look back at the draft 5 years from now, I think we'll look at a guy like Aaron Ekblad and say, yeah, maybe he didn't have that same high offensive ceiling as those other guys, but he's still a very valuable player for his respective team.
David, we appreciate the rundown. Where can people read your stuff?
McKeenshockey.com. And we've got the draft guide out. Every day we're putting up new profiles for the 2014 draft eligibles. So the guide is for sale, and everybody should take a look at the site, and hopefully they get something from it.
Yeah, it's great. We love it. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.